Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Hey, welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk on this Memorial Day 2023. A day where we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice so we can have the freedoms that we take for granted every day. A few weeks ago, Mark Reardon spoke with Bud Hedeke. He turns 98 tomorrow. He's a World War II veteran fighter pilot. He did this interview last month with Mark at VFW Hall Post 5077 in O'Fallon, Missouri. Here is that interview.
Hey, how about this guest that we have with us sitting across the table from me here in our little area outside of the VFW hall? It's Bud Hedeke, who is with the Mighty 8th Air Force. Bud is 97 years old. Is that true?
I'll be 98 in a month.
Okay. Wow. Can we round up?
Okay.
98 years old. How are you, Bud? Thank you so much for coming to see us.
I'm fine. I just got back from Europe 6 days ago.
That's what I heard. You were in Belgium?
Belgium and Germany. I went back to where I was shot down. Went to Bastogne. We were in a little pub, and I was telling the people in there, they put our pictures up on the wall in the pub. There's about 200 pictures.
How awesome is that?
So if you ever get to Bastogne and you look at that wall, you can say, I'd be a dirty bird. There's Bud.
Oh, my goodness. That is so incredible. Wow. Well, let's hear the story then. You know, you were shot down. So let's get a little World War II history here. How did you get there, and then what happened?
Okay, thank you. I was with the 452nd Bomb Group, 730th Squadron, Diefengreen Airfield near Norwich, England. I flew 23 combat missions and 3 food drops to the people of Holland. And on our first mission to Ham, H-A-M-M, Germany, we were shot down.
On the very first mission?
Wow. Yeah, very first. It's a good way to learn. You get a lot of respect. And when I say shot down, we didn't go down direct, but we glided, ran out of fuel.
Okay.
And crossed the German lines and crashed in St. Truiden, Belgium. And part of the tour was St. Truiden. Went to the old field. It was all grown over with weeds. I did not remember. How could I? But it sent chills through me.
I can imagine.
Wow.
And stayed there 4 days. And side note, if you want to hear it, the guys wanted to go to Brussels, so we did. And I didn't smoke, and I didn't drink, so I ordered ice cream. And I had just converted my American money into shillings and pounds, English money. So when the bill came, the lady asked for francs. And I held out my English money. And I knew I was took.
You're a smart man, though.
So I took the dish and spoon home with me.
Ah, there you go.
But I have no idea where it's at. I mean, that has nothing to do with the war. We were picked up 4 days later by a C-47 transport from England, brought back to the base, and then flew 22 more missions.
But what happened in those 4 days when you were
laid around,
just hanging out? You know, the Germans didn't know where you were?
There were German signs all over the field. We asked why, and this I remember, they said we let them up for sentimental reasons. The Germans had retreated.
Yeah.
So we had to wait, but when we got back, we continued on and bombed towns like Munich, Berlin, Frankfurt, Dortmund, Kiel. I can go on and on.
Do you remember all of those missions, or is it sort of, do they meld together, if you will?
I have in the car, if you want it for later, I tried to think ahead, a list of all my missions, the holes in the plane, how many hours. When I kept it, I'm one of these kooks that write stuff down. And the crew, to show you how it was then, said, what are you doing that for? We're not going to make it. Men were very,
really?
Very fanatical.
And, but how old were you then when this
19.
Was? You're 19 years old.
Yeah.
So you have all these kids. They're kids, right? You got kids in Ukraine right now doing the same thing.
Absolutely. The oldest guy on our crew was our waist gunner. He was real old. He was 25. Yeah.
Did you know what you were doing? Did you know how much was on the line?
Absolutely. You
did. There was awareness of what Germany was doing. I mean, we obviously get, you know, into that war a little late. There have been a lot of action before the U.S. gets in.
Good question. I'm in a documentary called The Cold Blue.
Right. That's on HBO, right?
Huh?
Is it on HBO Max out here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not watched it, but I want to see this.
Anyway, one of the questions on there... by the director of one of the guys, not me, he said, did it ever bother you about killing hundreds and thousands of people? His answer was, I never gave it a thought. I did what I was told, either better them than me. And we went at that time from precision bombing, meaning the arch in St. Louis, Empire State Building in New York,
right.
To pattern bombing, meaning dropping on the center of St. Louis. And if you read history, that ended the war a year earlier. All of Germany was flattened.
Wow.
Wasn't nice. But in actuality, the thousands of people that we killed were less than if the war would have continued.
Right, right. And you know, I feel a lot of times I'm a big fan of, shamefully, I've never read the book, but I've seen the series, the HBO series Band of Brothers, a couple of times. And I think that does such an exceptional job of showing the sacrifice and what a lot of this was all about. And I would be lying if I wouldn't tell you, Bud, that there are a lot of people like me who never had to serve in a situation like that. I mean, the hardest sacrifice I make is I'm stuck in traffic in St. Louis or there's an ice storm. I mean, I say that in a serious way to point out that sometimes I have perspective on that, thinking I'm in a bad mood. I can complain about a lot of things in my life, but I try to have an appreciation of what people like you went through back then.
If you would have been born, I had a guy say to me at an air show many years ago, I have all my flight gear, and he said, I could never done what you did. I said, yes, you could. Mm-hmm. If you would have been born in 1925, as I was, patriotism in America was never as high, and it never will be again.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. It was terrible. Pearl Harbor. And speaking of what you said, Steven Spielberg has been working on a documentary very comparable to the Band of Brothers.
Right.
It's about the 8th Air Force. I have the book called Masters of the Air. I'm not too sure if he's going to call it that or the 8th. I've been told by a good doctor friend of mine that it's coming out this summer. And it'll be, I don't know how many issues.
Several episodes probably,
but,
though, right?
Naturally, I'm looking forward
yes,
to seeing it.
Yes, absolutely. How many, now when you took this recent trip to Belgium, and Sue, if you have questions, ask. But when you took the trip to Belgium, were you with other survivors, other people
that you served with
or not?
Two infantrymen and two Air Force guys. And this group, they're out of the East Coast. A lot of people, probably entrepreneurs that have money, they pay for everything. And a good reason probably why there aren't too many of us left.
Right.
And we went to where the Battle of the Bulge was, and one guy, I got chills, went to a building, and they showed the picture during the war, all covered with snow. He went to the exact building that he liberated.
Oh, wow. That is cool.
Talk about chills,
and,
right?
I dedicated a monument with a B-17 propeller where a B-17 crew went down. They were killed. And it's a lot of emotion.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think most of us could never even comprehend those. Well, I know a lot of people come back from Vietnam vets in particular. They didn't ever want to talk about any of that stuff that they saw.
My older son was in Vietnam. I have 6 children, one's gone, 20 grandchildren. Last week, I had my 28th great-grandchild.
Do you have any great-great? Any great-greats yet?
One great.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, look at that.
And if it were December, I'd say, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Hey, Bud, I've got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
What, can you tell the scariest moment that you had when you were just a kid in World War II? What was the scariest and what was the most proud moment that you had?
I've been asked that many, many times. Mm-hmm. If you ever meet anybody that was in a war, in combat, and they tell you they were never scared, you tell them they were full of prunes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was scared every time, but I prayed, and God answered my prayers. I made it. But when somebody shoots at you, you get scared, mm-hmm. whether you're up 25,000 feet or in East St. Louis. And what was your final question?
Did you have a moment of pride or the best moment of
Good. In late April of 45, the Germans occupied the Netherlands totally. I don't know if you remember. People don't. I asked somebody mm-hmm. in the bar. When did the Germans surrender? When was VE Day? It was May 8, 1945. The Germans knew the war was over, but to retaliate, they blew up all the dikes in Amsterdam, The Hague, and the Delta. Eisenhower and Churchill and the powers to be decided to put plywood floors in our bomb bays, and we and the RAF, my group, I don't know why they picked my group, we dropped 111,000 tons of food to the people of Holland.
Wow.
They were dying at 5,000 a week, starving to death, because they, and this is gospel, eating tulip bulbs to stay alive.
Oh, gosh.
And that was when I got home, sitting in the kitchen with my dad. I told him, Dad, the greatest thing about the war was how it ended for me. I finally was doing something good.
Yeah.
In my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we saved a lot of people, but would you believe in a book I got, the Germans who were there confiscated over 50% of what we dropped.
Were you ever exposed to you saw enough horrible things, but to some of the atrocities at the camps?
No, I just, it's so funny. Last week, I went to Buchenwald. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Mm.
I couldn't believe man's inhumanity to man. I even said to a couple of the Germans who weren't even born, how in the world could that nut, excuse me, do that to people instead of fighting the war as he should? I saw, they told me how bodies were piled one on another. We saw the ovens.
Oh.
I mean, saw them, not in a book. And he said they just piled them in there. They had to do something to get rid of them.
Oh.
And we were only there a couple hours, thank God, because it's tough.
You know, I shared something recently from a good friend of mine here in St. Louis. He gave me a speech, the transcript of a speech that was delivered in 1978 in Kansas City at a Holocaust memorial. And it was his father-in-law who wrote this speech and delivered it. And talked about his time in the camps. And the thing, the one story that just jumps out at you when I reflected it on the air, and people have heard this a couple of times, is at one point they were in a room in Poland, and the Nazis were trying to, you know, root the Jews out, and there was a baby there. The baby was crying, and the father snuffed out his own baby to save the lives of everyone else that was in that apartment in Poland. And you know that that didn't happen probably only that time. I mean, the horrors that people had to go through just to survive, Bud.
If you read history, even though the Holocaust was terrible, in the Pacific, the rape of Chongqing, China, the Japanese, in books, this isn't fiction, would throw babies up in the air and catch them with their bayonets.
Oh, my. Oh. That's
talk
new.
About autocracy. Oh. That had to be terrible. But I want to say this, if I may, to sum it up. I know you're getting close. I wrote a song for my bomb group for the guys that died. The 8th Air Force lost 28,000 men. We lost more.
28,000 men.
We lost more than the Marines. And we had the highest casualty rate percentage-wise. It's nothing to brag about.
Right.
There were 12,741 B-17s manufactured. Anybody want to make a guess as to how many were shot down?
10,000?
Well, now, give
Sorry.
Me a break.
4,000.
You're very close. Over 5,000. We had a 40% casualty rate.
Good grief.
Yeah. But what I did in 1995, our reunion, which is no more, was coming to Minnesota, and I felt so moved, and I dedicated this, if I may, to the guys that died. You heard the song, I'll Be Seeing You and All the Old, to that melody. May I?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. I'll be seeing you in all... Wrong song. I'll be seeing you on all the missions that we flew, and also with our good old crew the whole day through. Enemy fighters and flak, the sound of loud ack-ack, and lucky we got back to our ground crew on that day we flew. I'll be seeing you on all those fields of green in your sleek flying machine. Oh, the one called Mighty Queen. I'm going to look for you in skies of blue. And when your flights are through, I'll be seeing you in my dreams, and I'll be missing you. That's it.
Oof. That was amazing. That was really great. Bud Hedeke, how do you, a couple of questions here before we wrap up. I want to talk about patriotism. You mentioned patriotism. There was a poll that just came out that shows that we're at a very low level. Young people, I've said this, I think you've heard
of
these
course.
Discussions for years. You don't have an appreciation, some people, for the Greatest Generation, for the sacrifices. How do we bring, or can we bring, patriotism and the love of country back, Bud?
I wonder the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of grandkids and great-grandkids. Some are very patriotic. Some are come-see-come-saw.
I have a couple of those.
And I don't know. I sure as heck don't want to wish, I asked God, not another world war.
Yeah.
Because if it happens, guys, it's over. Mm-hmm. And I hope mankind is knowledgeable enough to know.
I wouldn't have a whole lot of confidence in that. Boy.
Well, you've got to be positive. If you can't be positive in life, why live? And we just hope and pray. We lost, not the 8th, but America lost a little bit over 400,000 men
Jeez.
In World War II. Who do you think lost the most? I'll tell you, Russia, millions, followed by Germany.
Mm.
And then England and da-da-da-da, you know, and Japan, too. But all I can say, as I said on the documentary, The Cold Blue, when you go to bed tonight, say a prayer of thanks to God for those 28,000 guys, 19 to 28, that didn't become fathers, or got a chance to get married and thank God for their sacrifices, because you're living a good life today.
Well, you just brought the whole table to tears, bud. And
I meant it from my
heart. I know
heart.
You did, and that was awesome. This was a great conversation. Thank you so much for stopping by. What do you attribute your excellent mental and physical health to at 98 years old in a month?
God, I lost Muriel, my wife, 32 months ago. We were married 73 years.
73 years.
And I believe this in my heart. I think each one of us, God has a day for our birth and for us to go. And thank goodness we don't know. But if we can do good while we're still here, let's do it. That's mm-hmm. about all I can say. And as they say with the earphones on, that's all, folks.
Can you run for president, bud? Because we need someone like you. Thank you so much. It's been an honor, really. It's been an honor and a privilege.
My pleasure.
So great to meet
you.
This was I guarantee you, this is a conversation that people in their cars right now, they did not want to turn it off. So, Bud Hedeke, thank you so much. That was really awesome and inspirational as well.
That was Bud Hedeke, turns 98 tomorrow, an interview he did a few weeks ago with Mark Reardon. God bless that man. Bud Hedeke, World War II veteran fighter pilot, turning 98. And as he said, let's remember all those who didn't come home. It's because of those brave men and women that we have the freedoms we have today. That's what Memorial Day is all about, remembering those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. 314-241-9797. That's the number to get on. It's also a toll-free number at 866-455-9797. We've talked about a lot today. If you have a comment on anything we talked about, we will take that in the next segment. If you'd like to remember someone who gave the ultimate sacrifice on this Memorial Day, and you would like to give them your thanks, you can call in at 314-241-9797. We'll take those calls as well. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. St. Louis is home for conservative talk. Thank you for joining me on this Memorial Day 2023. We've discussed a lot today. We've gone over a lot. We've had some great guests. If you missed any of it, you can find it on demand on the Odyssey app. We spoke about the debt ceiling and the deal between Speaker McCarthy and President Biden. We talked about Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump, the upcoming primary, obviously, and the other candidates that are jumping in that as well. We talked about the transgender executive order in St. Louis. We also talked about this thing that happened at Lululemon, where two managers say they got fired because they called the police. Lululemon says they got fired because they chased the shoplifter out of the store. Again, I understand having a policy saying don't chase a shoplifter out of the store for personal, so you don't risk personal harm. However, if a manager wants to go try to get the stuff back, I don't know. As someone who worked in retail for a store that in 30 days will be out of business, I don't know. I don't know where I know where I stand on that. And I just, you would think there's a shoplifter, call the police. Hey, you need to pay for that. Something. But we'll see what all comes of that. If you want to comment on anything we spoke about today, 314-241-9797. I said there was something I wanted to get to before we get out of here. You know, I've been giving you a lot of life updates, what's gone on in my life since the last time I filled in here in St. Louis. And this is kind of a funny story, but it's also kind of a sad story. So I went to Madai College. It's a small school here in Buffalo. It has a great communications program. Here at Odyssey Buffalo, many of the employees here went to Madai. And I got my job here at Odyssey Buffalo. And I guess, in extension, Odyssey St. Louis, doing these fill-ins because of Madai College. I was, you know, I got my interview from one of my favorite professors of all time. He set up the interview. Without that, I probably never would have been in radio. You know, it's not the easiest job to just walk up and fill out an application. You know, I mean, obviously, you can do that. But I will credit Madai with getting my foot in the door, getting me that that interview. As just a weekend producer, board hopping from 6 p.m. to 11 on Saturday nights on WBEN. And then I was able to, you know, build a, climb my way to being on the air. And without Madai College, I probably, I don't know. I'd like to think Madai College had a lot to do with that. The point of the story is Madai College has announced that they're going out of business. Yes, they're closing the school campus at the end of August. Now, I don't know what that means. I mean, if I say I went to Madai College, does that not hold any weight anymore? I went to a college that no longer exists. I mean, I guess it's something cool to say, but I do feel bad for the students that are in that school now. And here's the thing. You see this happening around the country. I live in Buffalo. There was a college in Rochester that went out of business. I mean, it seems to be happening to some of these private schools as tuition enrollment is down, right, at some of these private schools. But, you know, again, you see how much school costs. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people who are now asking that question. Do I need college to get where I'm going in life? Now, obviously, there are professions where you not only need college, you need extra college, right? You need 6-8 years of education. But there are some people that, you know, they say, I will just work hard at a trade. I'll find a job that I'm good at and maybe go to trade school instead of taking up these big, you know, this big enrollment, this big tuition for something I might not even use, you know. A lot of people I went to college with, they're not using the degrees. You know, I mean, I'm thankful for my school for getting me the interview here. However, did I really need the 4 years? I've always been a big talker. You know, I mean, ask any principal I had in elementary school, middle school, or high school. I was usually in the principal's office for talking when I shouldn't be. So I've never had a problem talking. And I think a lot of people are having those discussions now. You know, there's that push when you're a senior in high school, you know, your guidance counselor, that push to college. But is that for everyone? And I think some people have the questions of, do I want to assume this debt? Because in the real world, when you take out a loan, you do have to pay it back. I know there are people in the White House who would like it a different way, but in reality, when you take out a loan, you have to pay the loan back. And I think people are hearing stories of millennials in their 30s that are having difficulties paying back their loans or have to, you know, delay life events because they're paying their loan back. And, you know, they're thinking twice before going to college. And, you know, some people will say, oh, that's awful. You know, what are you going to do with just a high school degree? And reality is there are a lot of things you could do. I mean, there are people that didn't go to college who make a lot more money than me, you know? So I think it's just, it's okay to say college isn't for everybody. And I do think more and more people are discovering this, discovering that there's a trade they're good at, something that they can get, you know, their career rolling after high school. and you're seeing some of these small private colleges where they're just charging an outrageous amount of money. And unfortunately, schools like my alma mater are going under. You know, I do feel bad about Medi going under, but I completely understand people either looking into the cheaper community colleges or, you know, thinking about skipping college altogether. It's not for everyone. And I think some people, their whole life have been told you have to go to college, you have to go to college. Then they go and maybe go 2 years and then drop out because, you know, it's just not for them. And like I said, you can have a high school degree, and if you've got the right career path, you can make a lot more money than some people who went to college, right? Obviously, there's the jobs you need your college education for, but it's not for everybody. And, you know, for the longest time, that was such a, oh, my, you can't say that. How can you say something like that? But it's true. You know, if I went back, there's someone I work with here in Buffalo. He's my producer on my show on WBEN weekdays at 9 o'clock, and he didn't go to college. He just handed in resumes. He has that drive. And he was able to get a really good radio job, and he DJs events and stuff. And he's got a really good thing going, but he knew what he wanted to do. And he didn't think college was going to change that. So why assume all that debt? And I think it's a question we have to go. I mean, look at the economy now. It's a question we have to ask ourselves. Is paying this loan back going to be worth it? And that is a fair question that anyone who's thinking about going to college is going to have to ask themselves. And again, in reality, you have to pay a loan back. Joe Biden might tell you you don't have to pay a loan back. It's the real world. Get used to paying back the loans you have. You take out a car loan, you got to pay it back. So that's my little rant on college. Hope I didn't lose anyone out there. But it's exactly what I thought about when I wanted to bring up that my alma mater, as of August 31st, will no longer be around. Hey, when we come back, as I said, Medal of Honor recipient David Bellavia has this clip from a speech he gave a few years ago. I'd like to play that clip for you as our cut of the day. Also, some time left for your calls at 314-241-9797. Anything I mentioned today that you have a comment on, would love to hear your take. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon. One segment to go here on 97.1 FM Talk. Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. Thank you for spending your afternoon with me today. If it was in the car, maybe you worked as well today, or at home doing some things around the house on your day off. Whatever it was, I appreciate you tuning in. I know I always say this. People are probably sick of me saying this, but means a lot to get these opportunities. You know, I love where I love my show. That didn't sound right. I love WBEN where I host. It's awesome. I love having my show there, and look forward to going back to that tomorrow. But always nice to get this opportunity in a much larger media market here in St. Louis. So I always appreciate these fill-ins, and hope to be able to speak with you again in the very near future. Here on 97.1 FM Talk. Before we get to the clip of the day, which we have all queued up, I don't know if it's the same way in the St. Louis Dispatch. I think that's the name of your newspaper. Wow, I've been reading it. Yeah, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. St. Louis Post-Dispatch. But, you know, there's the political cartoons, and we have one here in Buffalo. And the political cartoons, it's just... it's always the same thing, right? It's just a left-wing narrative, and it's so obvious. They're not original. Like, does anyone enjoy the political cartoon anymore? I mean, I don't know what it is in the Post-Dispatch, but in the Buffalo News, there's one local political cartoonist. Is that what they call it? And, I mean, it's just always the same stuff. I could tell you what the cartoon's going to be. Just let me watch CNN for 30 minutes, and I can tell you what tomorrow's political cartoon is going to be, right? It's going to be something bashing Republicans, pro-Democrats, and again, it's going to be just something unoriginal, like, oh, I've seen this before, you know, and you've, I don't know. Maybe that's just me, because I'm usually the guy that can see the humor, even if it's something I disagree with. I can see humor in jokes that might make fun of my political point of view. But you've got, you know, the Colberts of the world that it's just not funny. You know, I mean, Stephen Colbert, in my opinion, has ruined late night television. David Letterman was funny. I'm pretty sure David Letterman and I don't agree on one thing politically, but I found his show funny. But the political jokes and commentary that you get now, especially from the left side of the aisle, I mean, it's not comedy. It's just this hate-filled monologue. Like I said, you know, when David Letterman back in the day would make fun of President Bush, mostly that was funny stuff. You know what I mean? Again, making fun of where I stand politically. If you can do it in a funny way, I'll laugh. But you just don't get that. The Jimmy Kimmels and the Stephen Colberts of the world, it's not funny stuff. Those aren't comedians. They claim to be comedians, but they can't even do a show when the writers are on strike. You know, the Seth Meyers? I mean, it's just, we get it. You don't like Republicans. We understand, you know. But when I'm watching a football game and at commercial, it's, hey, Stephen Colbert welcomes Nancy Pelosi. What? What happened of the days of, you know, a stand-up comedian and, you know, someone from a show and from a movie? And now Stephen Colbert, he's got Elizabeth Warren and Nancy Pelosi on every week. I'm sorry, that's not a comedy show. And at 11:35, you really want politics? Not me, man. By 8, 9 o'clock, I'm in sports mode. You know what I mean? I'm in sports mode. I can't imagine 11:35, you're getting ready for bed. Oh, what's on TV? Oh, let me hear Jimmy Kimmel. I just can't imagine those words ever coming out of my mouth. I don't need the left-wing talking points as I'm going to bed. I mean, to be fair, I don't need the right-wing talking points either. I try to put a pause on the politics before I go to bed. But that's me, and I just saw a cartoon on Twitter as I was getting ready to come back, so thought I'd share my opinion on that. But at 5:49, Gary, let's say we do the clip, the cut of the day.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Now, this is my good friend, Medal of Honor recipient, David Bellavia. A speech he gave 3 years ago. The whole speech is amazing, and I would urge you to go and find it and listen to it. But here is a part he was talking about his friends who had fallen, and I really think this captures the thoughts on Memorial Day.
It is our love of nation, our way of life, and our love by those who we serve with side by side. We defend, we avenge, we sacrifice, we bleed, and we are willing to die for this unique creation, the United States of America. I am complete for having experienced that kind of sacrifice with my fellow men at arms and those who died. They gave their lives for me. They gave their lives for you and countless citizens who will never know them. I'm talking about Sims, Falkenberg, Iwan, Gonzalez, Vandenberg, Madison, Garriantes, Schreck, Sizemore, Mock, Rosales, Cardenas, Sprayberry, and Pruitt. Those were our countrymen. Those were our friends. And these men will never get the chance to experience the cycle of life, the birth and growth of their children. They shall not grow old because they chose to stand in our place and face the enemy for us. It's not enough to acknowledge the fallen by name or just inscribe their names in marble as proof that they lived and died. To truly honor the fallen, we must acknowledge how and why they gave their lives. Their death wasn't a random act or a splash of misfortune. These men and women voluntarily put themselves in harm's way, prepared to die so that we may rest secured at home. They are the insurance policy that guarantees that our founding documents, our God-given rights, are more worthy than their own tomorrows.
That was David Bellavia, Medal of Honor recipient in 2019 at the Hall of Heroes induction ceremony. And I think some very powerful words about the men and women who give, who have given the ultimate sacrifice for this country and defending our freedoms, defending what the founding fathers had put in place. And like I said, I think it's okay to, you know, enjoy your day off, have a barbecue with friends. Yes, it's the unofficial start of summer. But I do think that we owe it to the men and women. And I heard Ryan Recker say this earlier. I think it's important that we put some time aside just to remember that those freedoms weren't free. The old cliche saying, those freedoms weren't free, and that there are men and women who aren't with us today so we could have those freedoms. The debates that we have over politics every day, the back and forth, right? The arguing over politics that we have every day. And that's just one of so many freedoms we have in this country. There's a reason this is the country so many people want to come to, why so many people want to be in this country, because it has the freedoms. It is a country unlike any other. And we are so lucky to be in the United States of America. We are so lucky to call this home, so fortunate that we had the brave men and women we have. You know that Billy Ray Cyrus song, "All Gave Some Gave All"? It's a quote I use every Memorial Day, and it really does, right there, simply, just a few words, tell you what today is all about. Some gave all. We are thankful to the sacrifice that they gave. And yes, we are thankful every day to the men and women who serve this great nation. And we should also be thankful every day to the men and women who gave the ultimate sacrifice for this great nation. But that is what today is all about. And I think Staff Sergeant David Bellavia, Medal of Honor recipient, put it perfectly in that speech. Again, that was 2019, the Hall of Heroes induction ceremony. You can find that on YouTube if you just search David Bellavia Hall of Heroes induction ceremony. It's about a 22-minute speech, and it's a very powerful speech. And I'm lucky to call that man a friend. I work with him every day here in Buffalo, and it's a very powerful speech. And I think of all days, today is a great day to listen to it and to be reminded about what Memorial Day is all about. And again, that your freedoms didn't come free. And, you know, another song I heard, I think it was Mike Elam this morning talking about, you know, country music and patriotic country music. And there's so many, you know, patriotic songs, right? I mean, Toby Keith had almost an entire album of patriotic songs back in the early 2000s. But you talk about today, that Some Gave All song by Billy Ray Cyrus, If You're Reading This by Tim McGraw, I mean, very emotional songs, but really does, I mean, very clear, you know, 3 to 4 minute songs describe all about that ultimate sacrifice, and reminds you of the men and women who gave the sacrifice there. But like I said earlier, the families who gave the ultimate sacrifice, right? They will not see their loved ones again. And it was a sacrifice they gave to this great nation. I want to thank all of you for listening today. I hope you are enjoying your Memorial Day. Hope you did set aside some time to remember why it is we have this day off. Mark Reardon will be back tomorrow with the whole crew right here on 97.1 FM Talk. His show, as you're listening to right now, starts at 3 p.m., so can't wait to hear from Mark tomorrow and hear how his weekend was. Stay safe, St. Louis. I hope to be able to speak with you again. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Gary, thank you so much for all the work you've done behind the scenes. I also want to thank Fred for booking our guest today, doing a great job as always. St. Louis, have yourself a great Monday evening. And we will talk with you soon here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.